And now to more fallout from the war in Afghanistan. In 2009, Congress created the Special Immigrant Visa Program, allowing interpreters, Afghans, who spent more than a year working for U.S. forces to apply for a visa. The process had been long, complicated, and secretive, but after a series of reforms in 2013, it improved, and now more than 15,000 Afghans and their families have relocated to the U.S. and have green cards. But as difficult as it is for Afghans to get visas to come here, that might be the easy part. Sean Carberry, who knew many interpreters during his long stint reporting in Afghanistan, found many struggling to build lives here.
26-year-old Amanul Asayed spent 7 years interpreting for U.S. forces in Afghanistan. He worked in some of the most dangerous parts of the country. It took him years to navigate the convoluted visa process. He and his family arrived in the U.S. in late February. I met Syed walking the streets of his new hometown of Woodbridge, Virginia. He was looking for work, spending up to 8 hours a day looking for help wanted signs.
Are you getting any help from any government agencies or charities at this point to help you find a job or direct you on even how best to apply for a job or present yourself here?
Yes, they did type of training, the Catholic Charity, the Migrants Office.
Catholic Charities is one of 9 agencies contracted by the federal government to provide assistance to refugees.
We are their clients. Short two days training that how to make resumes, how to find a job here in the U.S., how to apply online. They did. We're doing our best, but personally, I don't have a computer and internet to apply for jobs. I applied many times from the library. I went to the library, used that internet, and apply online.
Catholic Charities also provided beds, dishes, and a dining room set for Syed's small one-bedroom apartment. But the couches came from a different source.
Well, I got these from trash. I just washed it with antibiotics and then some soap for the health reasons. Cleaned it up, and I'm using it.
Syed is approaching the end of his period of rental assistance and will soon have to pay for his apartment on his own.
I'm really depressed because of that. What will happen? My kids will be on the street, so I don't want them to happen like that, to be on the street. If I find a job now, it's okay. If I don't, then that's the question. Who will support and who will help?
A few weeks after I interviewed him, Syed did find a job, but everything's not okay. He's working more than 50 hours a week, but he's not earning enough to afford the rent. He's now looking for a second job and a cheaper apartment. While his rent support is ending, he still has food stamps and Medicaid. About 70% of Afghan interpreters come to the U.S. with the assistance of a refugee agency. They receive the same package of benefits as refugees fleeing violence in Syria or South Sudan.
Hello.
Hi.
But yeah, we're here to pick up some furniture for our Afghan friends, so.
Hey, that's wonderful news.
Yeah. Let's go shopping.
That's not acceptable to U.S. Army Reserve Captain Matt Zeller. He's the founder of No One Left Behind. It's a nonprofit that provides assistance to interpreters in the D.C. area.
These guys are veterans. They did tours of combat just like we did.
This is a personal cause for Zeller. While on a mission in Afghanistan, his interpreter picked up a gun and killed 2 Taliban who were ambushing their position.
He literally saved my life. To me, he's an American veteran, and we ought to be taking care of folks like we do our other fellow veterans.
Zeller helped get his former interpreter, Janice Shinwari, to the U.S. a year and a half ago.
Janice, what do we need?
Yeah, we need some couches and a dining table.
Okay.
And some dishes.
All right, so I'll be on dishes. You guys are on couches.
Now, Shinwari and other Afghans spend their weekends visiting thrift shops like Pender Methodist in Chantilly, Virginia. The shop donates furniture and kitchen supplies that Zeller and his team deliver to newly arrived interpreters. Zeller says the first person No One Left Behind helped was an interpreter named Ajmal Fakhri. He once served as translator to former Secretary of Defense Robert Gates.
When we found Ajmal, he was living homeless on the streets of San Francisco with his wife, his 4-year-old son, and his 2-year-old daughter. We flew them out to Maryland so that he could be closer to people that he knew, helped him find an apartment, furnished that home, helped him get a job, bought him a car, and it sort of snowballed from there.
Larry Bartlett is director of refugee assistance programs at the State Department. He acknowledges that it's a tough transition for Afghans.
is a program that allows people to arrive, but then expects them to become self-sufficient economically.
And do so quickly. With the surge in processing of visas for Afghans and the greater number of refugees fleeing violence in the world, resources are stretched.
There's a bit of a tension because the federal funding for this program is limited, and the needs of the population, as the needs of refugees who are recently resettled here, are perhaps greater than the federal funding can allow.
Bartlett says there's no talk of extending additional benefits to Afghan interpreters, though as hard as it is initially, many Afghans are succeeding in the U.S. Such as Shinwari, Zeller's former interpreter. He struggled initially, but now he has a full-time job, and on the weekends he likes to drive the delivery van for No One Left Behind. He says he's happy in the U.S. now.
I like it. Nice place. And the important thing, we are secure. We don't have to be living the fear like we did in Afghanistan.
Today, they're delivering furniture to a newly arrived family in Riverdale, Maryland. This apartment complex is where Ajmal Fakhri lives, along with a number of other Afghan families. Looking around the rundown complex, the first question I ask Fakhri is if he feels safe living here.
No. We left Afghanistan because we thought we were going to be safe. And if a person comes to your apartment and the drug dealers keep bothering you, it is safe. I'm not calling it safe.
Fakhri and others say they weren't expecting luxury when they arrived, but they often left nicer homes in Afghanistan.
I have noticed about almost 10 families, they left back this country.
They went back to Afghanistan?
Yes, they went back to Afghanistan, approximately 10 families.
Fakhri says there was one man who left when the rent support ended and he hadn't found a job. He told Fakhri he'd rather die in Afghanistan than suffer here. Still, despite the hardships that many Afghans face here, there are thousands more seeking visas in hopes of a better life in America. For Here and Now, I'm Sean Carberry.